Why does the enemy wage war on the family? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
The family is the basic unit of society, and because of that, Satan, from the Garden of Eden to this day, has waged an all-out war on the family. And there's some who are asking a question, seriously asking it. Does the family have a future? I mean, will the family as an institution continue to exist? Or will it be like the dinosaur? Will it become extinct? Will it become just a relic of another age?
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring profound truth simply stated by Adrian Rogers. Now, as we've just heard, the family was the first institution formed by God, created to meet the deepest physical, social, and spiritual needs of all mankind. In the midst of this moral freefall, it's time we ask ourselves, what is the future of the family? Adrian Rogers said, if there is no future for our families, there is no future for this nation. We must train our children to abide by God's law so we can preserve the family's future. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 29. Once again, here's Adrian Rogers.
Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and in a moment we're going to look at verse 29. Let me tell you about a funeral that took place some years ago. It was a very unusual funeral. The coffin was draped with the folds of Old Glory, and the President of the United States of America was there at that funeral. The President's cabinet was all there. There were dignitaries from the Congress and from the Senate. There were representatives from all over the world that had come to this funeral. If you had been a stranger and walked up and had not seen the President, you would have thought that perhaps it was the President himself whose funeral was being held. You have to ask yourself, whose body was in that casket? Because he had never really sculpted a great piece of art. He had never written a great book. He certainly wasn't a war hero. He was a man who was in the Foreign Service, and he had died in Tripoli. And they buried his body in Tripoli, but by common command and consent, they disinterred his body and brought it back to the United States for a very special funeral. They sent a United States man of war to go pick up that body and to bring it back on that vessel. And when the man of war came back to the United States, there was a band playing to greet the arrival of that body, and great guns boomed in the air, and there was a parade. All of the flags in the United States hung at half-mast. This person, a very important person, was a man whose name you may know or you may not know. It was John Howard Payne. Now, what had John Howard Payne done, and why were people so excited about this man, and why did they want to pay to John Howard Payne such honor for one line that he had written? Do you want to know what it is? "Mid pleasures and palaces, though off I may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home." That's what he wrote. And that so touched the hearts of people around the world from that day to this day that we wanted to honor the man who wrote those words, "No place like home." And I want to talk to you about home. I want to talk to you about the family. The family is a little part of the Garden of Eden that we still have left, because God established the family in the Garden of Eden. And it is the family that we look forward to in the Father's house through all eternity. Now, anthropologists and sociologists would like to tell us that the family just somehow came out of the ooze and slime of evolution and out of the onward gradual process of sociology and biology, but it is not so. The family had its origin in the heart and mind of Almighty God. It was the first institution that God formed, and it was put there to meet the deepest physical, social, spiritual, and psychological needs of mankind. And it is so important that we understand the importance of the family, because children should be born into the family, and a child in a family, first of all, gets his own self-concept from the home. A little child born in a home, he has no self-concept. He doesn't know who he is or what he is. He has no real self-consciousness. It is in the home that a child should learn who he is, what he can do, and what is expected of him. And so a child's psyche is formed by the family. The child needs to learn in the family the sense of security, a sense of confidence. He needs to learn that he is so loved, he is worth something. A child looks into its mother's face, and the child sees in that mother that love. And what that child sees when that child looks in its mother's face is, I am special because my mother loves me so. My father loves me so. We often heard about the child who said he was an unwanted child, but by the time he was 19, he was wanted in 7 states. A child gets a concept of himself in the home. A child gets a concept of life in the home. In the home, if there are limitations and disciplines and rules, then the child learns that he's not a law unto himself. He learns that he has to live with individuals. He has to learn to respect authority. And the Bible says a child left himself bringeth his mother to shame. And the Bible says if we will discipline a child, he'll not die, but we'll deliver his soul from hell. The child that doesn't learn to respect authority in the home is not going to respect authority in the school, in the government. He's not going to respect God's authority, and he may end up going to hell. And then the child gets his concept of God in the home. God is spoken of as a father. And if the home does not give to that child love and mercy and grace and concern, the child's concept of God himself may be warped. The family is the basic unit of society, and because of that, Satan, from the Garden of Eden to this day, has waged an all-out war on the family. And there's some who are asking a question, seriously asking it, does the family have a future? I mean, will the family as an institution continue to exist? Or will it be like the mastodon? Will it be like the saber-toothed tiger? Will it be like the dinosaur? Will it become extinct? Will it become just a relic of another age? Well, there is a war against the family, and before I get into the main body of the message, I just want to remind you that there is a philosophical war against the family. People with their minds are working against the family. Dr. James Dobson reported on the United Nations 4th World Conference on Women held in the late summer of 1995 in Beijing, China. And there was a conference, and in that conference they discussed this, the deconstruction of gender. Now, what on earth is the deconstruction of gender? Well, let me tell you as they gave it, quote, the goal is to give members of the human family 5 genders from which to choose instead of 2. No longer do we say male and female. Now you have 5 opportunities. When freed from traditional bias, notice what they call it, traditional bias, a person can decide whether to be male, female, homosexual, lesbian, or transgendered. Some may want to try all 5 in time. Homosexuality is considered the moral equivalent of heterosexuality. For women, however, the preferred love relationship is lesbian in nature. In that way, male oppressiveness can be negated. Artificial insemination is the ideal method of producing a pregnancy, and a lesbian partner could have the same parenting rights accorded historically to the biological father. Now, friend, that is a philosophical approach. In an international conference where people from nations of all of the world came to learn this kind of a thing. I tell you, there is a war on the family. And then on top of that, we have in the United States and other nations of the world, many who are living together without the benefit of a marriage ceremony. Young people today are not even bothering to get married. They are living together, sort of try before you buy, if we ever do get married. Young people, I want to tell you, the Bible clearly forbids that. The Bible clearly forbids that. It is against the law of God, and therefore it is against your best welfare. And then on top of that, I'm just talking about the war on the family. Not only is there this philosophical war, not only are there those who decide they don't have to get married, but there is an increased disregard for life. Families are made to protect life, but precious babies today in their mother's wombs are being treated as non-persons, and so many times are being disregarded and massacred for the comfort or the ease of the mother. January the 22nd, 1973, in my estimation, is the blackest day in American history, when 9 black-robed justices of the Supreme Court, the self-appointed high priest of humanism, said that little babies in the mother's womb, unborn babies, are non-persons. Now, leading in that is Planned Parenthood. I have absolutely, totally no respect for Planned Parenthood. None. Margaret Sanger, who founded Planned Parenthood, said, and I quote, "The most merciful thing the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it." That's the founder of Planned Parenthood. And much of what is done to put to death the unborn in the womb is done with your tax money. There's a war against the family. And the war against the family is compounded by the easy divorce laws in America. Today we have throwaway marriages. And there is an accumulating body of evidence that shows that the family breakup devastates children in great numbers. There are psychological wounds that are given to children when the home breaks up that may never heal and may prohibit those children themselves, unless those wounds are healed, from having a stable marriage themselves. Broken homes produce broken children, which produce broken homes, which produce broken children. Thank God that cycle can be broken. I'm not here to say that there is no hope. I'm just saying that this kind of thing has a devastating effect on children. And then on top of that, we have now the most vile kinds of pornography that is being displayed across America via the internet. Dr. Richard Land said, "There is a subterranean electronic river of pornographic slime running under every city, town, village, and hamlet in America. Grotesque and degenerate, a material is now available, not in the back alley of some so-called adult theater, but right in the living rooms, the classrooms, the public libraries of America." Then on top of all of that, we have our children who are being educated in an educational system that says that we cannot speak of God in a positive way in the educational system, because that somehow negates the idea of the separation of church and state. The founding fathers believed in the separation of church and state if it meant that there was to be no national denomination, but not for one breath did they ever believe in the separation of God and government. Not at all. They say, well, we're going to be neutral. So we're not going to be for God, or we're not going to be against God. Of course, they're not neutral, because they teach godless evolution. When you talk to children and tell them there's a fairy tale about a frog that became a prince, we say that's a fairy tale when we're talking in the nursery school, but in the classroom, that's science, when frogs become princes. And they say, well, we're just going to be neutral about it. There's some things you can't be neutral about. Suppose we're going to be neutral about food, so nobody's going to eat. You see, there's some things that you are not neutral about. You can't be neutral about God. But our children are being raised, by and large, in humanistic institutions where man, not God, is the sum, the substance, the center, and the circumference of everything. I'm just talking about the war on the family. And then that is compounded by the ignorance of so many of us who call ourselves Bible-believing Christians. And Satan has tried to keep us in darkness and to give us the idea that we have to go along to get along. And what I have already said today is very politically incorrect. I realize that. There are certain things that are non-negotiable. There are certain things that we need to learn if there's going to be a future for our family. And if there's no future for our families, if there's no future for our families, you can put it down big, plain, and straight, there is no future for this nation. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, God gave the Ten Commandments. Actually, Deuteronomy chapter 5 is a restatement, a reinforcement of the Ten Commandments. And then after God gave these commandments, God says in chapter 5 and verse 29 concerning His people, now listen to me. Here's what God says. "Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always," now listen to this, "that it might be well with them and their children forever." God is saying, if they will keep my commandments, there'll be a future for the family. That's what God is saying. Now, He has given the commandments, and you know the commandments. They are there in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus 20. If you will go to chapter 6 and begin in verse 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, and keep all his statutes and his commandments. Now watch this. Which I commanded thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. What he's talking about here is a future for the family, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And then he begins in verse 4, the great Shema. This is perhaps the most important verse to Orthodox Jews, or the most important passage in all of the Bible. It begins, the word Shema means hear, and it begins with the word hear. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now here's what God says we're to do for the future of the family. I want you to think now of how, therefore, we are to train our children so that we as a nation can have a future, so we as a family can have a future. Number one, first thing I want you to understand is home is the university of life. Home is the university of life. God says that these commandments are to be taught in the home. God did not give the Ten Commandments to government, though government should abide by them. God did not give the Ten Commandments to industry, though industry should learn from them. God did not give the Ten Commandments to education, though education should take note of them. God gave the Ten Commandments to the family. Read all of this context. It is the family. This is God's priority plan, that faith is to go from parent to child. Our children are to see our faith in God in all that we do, in all that we say, and the very atmosphere in which a child is raised is to be supercharged with godliness based on the Ten Commandments. Now, I want to tell you again that it is the family that is the center and the core, and therefore the all-out war is against the family. So that's the first thing I want you to learn, is that home is to be the university of life. Home is to be the university of life. Now, here's the second thing. Parents are the professors in that university. Parents are the professors. Look again, if you will, in verse 7, and he says here, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Do you know what a juvenile delinquent is so many times? He's a child trying to act like his parents. And we talk about dropout kids today. I say that the problem is not primarily dropout kids, it's dropout parents. It is shirker dads and slacker moms who have not done what they ought to do and have dropped their responsibilities. Now, what are the qualifications if you would be a professor in this university? Well, look, if you will, and see in verse 5. Here are the qualifications. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now, let me tell you something. There's a control center in every child, and you cannot control the control center. That child controls it. God will not override it. God is not going to force you or anybody else to behave in a certain way. God will enable you to do so. God will lead you to do so. God will love you to do so. But ultimately, you must decide. Therefore, one of the wisest things that you can ever learn is that you cannot make decisions for your children. Oh, you can when they're little. You can guide them. But a child has to come to a place where he or she must make his or her own decisions. But you can make a decision for yourself. I've said this before, and I want to say it again. Listen carefully. Never set goals for somebody else. Never set goals for anybody else, because you can't control somebody else. Don't set goals for your children. Don't set goals for your children. I don't set goals for my children. I have desires for my children. You know who I have a goal for? Adrian. I have desires for my children. I have a goal for me. You know what my goal for me is? My desire is I'll have godly children. My goal is I will be a godly dad. Be a godly dad. I made up my mind. That's what I'm going to do. Because you see, I can choose for me. I choose Jesus. I choose God. I choose by the grace of God to be a godly dad and to love God with all of my heart. Here's the qualification. Look at it. Here's what you can choose to do in verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. To love God with all your heart is a sincere love, not a half-hearted love. Our children need to see in us a heartfelt, burning, passionate, emotional, and sincere love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something about kids. They can spot a phony a mile away. Your kids know that you're not perfect, but they want to know that you're sincere, that you love God with all of your heart. And then you're to love God not only with a sincere love, but with a selfless love, with all of your soul. The soul is the self. The whole self, 100%, needs to be given over to God, not part-time. And by the way, you want to know whether you love God with all of your soul? Two books you might consult, your checkbook and your calendar, your date book. Just look at those things. See where you're investing your time and your money. What really matters to you? Your kids need to see there's no place in your life that is marked off private. God, stay out. That includes what you watch on television, what you read, and so forth. You're to love God not only with a sincere love and not only with a selfless love, but you're to love Him with a strong love, with all of your might. Now, what does that include? It includes everything, all of your might. Your physical strength, your emotional strength, your financial strength, your intellectual strength. You're to love God with all of your might. And kids need to see, if you are a professor in the University of Life, they need to see a sincere, selfless, and strong love. Why? Because you cannot teach what you do not know and do not practice. Jesus, when somebody asked Him, what is the first and great commandment, Jesus quoted this. Verse 5, that's what Jesus quoted. Now, here's the third thing I want you to see. Number one, remember that the home is the University of Life. Number two, the parents are the professors. And number three, the Ten Commandments are the curriculum. The Ten Commandments are the curriculum. Now, in chapter 5, God gave the Ten Commandments. And then in chapter 6, He says, parents, you are to teach these. These commandments are ironclad, they're rock-ribbed, but they're not cold, rigid restrictions. They are the liberating laws of life. They are the tracks upon which your family is to run.
And a convicting reminder as we conclude today, men and women come and go, but the Ten Commandments remain forever. We're going to hear part two of this message coming up tomorrow. I hope you can join us then. We learned all about the importance of raising a family with a solid biblical faith today, and maybe you have questions regarding your faith. We'd love to offer you an insightful resource on our website. It's our Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers there that you may need about your faith, how to place your full trust and confidence in what Jesus did for you. Simply go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab at the top that says Discover Jesus. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's lesson, call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD and mention the title Family Future. This message is also part of the powerful and convicting series It Takes a Family. For the complete collection, all 7 powerful messages, call that number 1-877-LOVE-GOD, or you can order online at lwf.org/radio, or write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. Remember, our homes are where our children learn everything they need to know about life. Have you established your home as a university, yourself as a professor, and God's law as the curriculum? We hope you'll join us for part two of Family Future tomorrow right here on Love Worth Finding. Here's some encouragement from a listener who reached out on Facebook. I love Adrian Rogers' messages. They're always so relevant to life. He was a real teacher of God's holy word and a hero of the faith. Well, we are so glad to share these timeless messages and resources with you, and we're only able to do so because of your prayers and your gifts to the ministry. To say thank you right now for your generous support, we want to send you our It Takes a Family booklet collection. This bundle features popular booklets such as God's Plan for the Man, It Takes a Family, as well as 2 brand new booklets, Maximum Mom and Honoring Father and Mother. Request this bundle when you call with a gift right now at 1-877-LOVE-GOD, 1-877-568-3463, or give online at lwf.org/radio. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.